Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Cavs losing would make that must-listen radio. But So we did have a caller in the two segments ago say that it was Adam. He's rooting for the Cavs to lose to get this stuff over with because he thinks the team needs changes. Right yeah. Now, you can vote afternoon923fan on Twitter. Is it wrong to root against your team in hopes of forcing change with the head coach and the roster? 58% of people right now, 180 votes, saying, yes, it is. I will tell you, I can't root against my favorite team. I talk to the TV and I talk to the teams we love basically with I told you so. Mm-hmm. I do that. I can't root for the Cavs to fail. I can't. Because I see, like, it's so close, guys. Like, and I know it doesn't feel close, but talent-wise, like, you've got a lot of what you need to be a real contender. And it just isn't coming together. It's just not doing what it should do. And I think there's a lot of reasons why that are. I don't think it's just one simple thing why it is the way it is. But, there's an eternal optimist. Like, maybe if they get through this series, maybe the light goes on. Because right now, the pilot light is out. Right now, they do not play together. There's no chemistry between your two best guards. I don't know there's enough leadership. And, like, you know, we got people talking about the bench guys. I don't even care about that. Bench guys are interchangeable. If Max Strus doesn't work out here, you can find somebody to take on Max Strus who feels like he'll fit what they need.
Like anybody. You can get a guy, not off the street, but kind of. I mean, a guy, free agent, that could come in and do exactly what some of these backups bench guys are doing.
Well, and teams are always going to value good role players, even if Max's stock is down. My point is, Max Strus won't be the thing that propels you or stops you from being an Eastern Conference champion. And so I can't root against this team, even if it means the things that I think need to happen will happen. But I think when it comes to, we've talked a lot about the Donovan part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Donovan part I think it's become excruciating for Cavs fans because I think that is part of the reaction. I think that's part of the frustration of all you need to do is win this series. You chose this series. You chose the Magic because you thought it was the easier pull. And here you are choking away this series, and there's not an easy guy to point to and say, just fire that guy or trade this guy, and it's going to be that simple. So it just feels like you're going from 2 years of expectations, and we've delayed them. Hey, you can be a championship contender. You can be an Eastern Conference contender because you got Donovan. To now it looks like, well, man, he's not going to want to be here. And, well, now he's not playing well enough to get you where you want to go. Are you even going to get value for him? Like, I think it's very easy to see a spiraling from Cavs fan base if this team, goes out there at home in Game 5 or even in Game 6. If you win Game 5 but you lose Game 6, the panic is at all-time levels, and it should be, and is rightfully so. And unfortunately for Donovan, he's the guy that does a lot of the things right, and it's going to be aimed at him because of his contract and his future.
I'm already sounding the fire alarm.
For which part?
For all of it. I mean, I'm sounding the fire alarm that this team is absolutely going to be broken up, and they're going to find a new coach, and we're starting over again.
I think what really worries me about this, and I was on with JP after the my my national show on Saturday because I popped in at 5 o'clock right when he was in the middle of the postgame show. And I said, my concern is that this is going to take it from just fire JB and or trade Donovan or Darius to you might fire Kobe. And if a new GM comes in here, this roster is going to look maybe not as simple as this offseason, but in the next 2 years, it'll look wildly different and your window will change. And it's not guaranteed it's going to change for the better. That's what scares me. Like, that kind of change might end up being the thing the Cavs need. Maybe it's a perfect change, right? Maybe it's the thing that is the shot in the arm and the Cavs all of a sudden do become consistent threats in the East. Or maybe the new GM comes in, hires his guy to do what he wants. You don't get the value for Donovan, or you choose wrong between Donovan and Darius, and maybe you make a premature decision on Evan. Like, that's what scares that. Like, it could get bad from here, and it doesn't need to be.
No, it could. And, you know, I just saw some stuff, too, like some breakdowns from some national guys that, like, do the hardcore nits and grits, like pointing out, like, the Mobley's not having a good series defensively. And that's, like, supposed to be his bread and butter, right?
Yep.
I mean, no one's having a good series outside of Jared at moments.
216-474-0092. Does this fall all on Donovan Mitchell here in town? If the Cavs end up losing this series to Orlando, let's go with Thomas. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, Nick. Hey, Dustin. It was great meeting you guys the other day. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, you're also amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, we got more handsome in person. We'll give you that comment on air so everybody had time to come to come see y'all, see how handsome you guys are. Donovan Mitchell, first of all, I do think the Cavs are going to win a series. I think the Cavs are going to win game 5 and then get murdered by the Boston Celtics. But Donovan Mitchell, for me, I think Donovan Mitchell is the problem. Because, you know, we think we're trading for this superstar talent, and he's not it. And the reality is that there's only been, what, 4 guards in history to win a championship where the guard was – there's 4 teams in history where the guard was the best player on the team, right? Isaiah Thomas, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and there's one other one that I have off the top of my head, but I can't remember. But anyway, it doesn't happen a lot where your guard's the best player on the team. And Donovan Mitchell, to me, is a very good player, but he can't be the best player on the championship roster. For one, because he's a guard, you need a small forward or a big man to be your best player on the team.
Thomas, real quick, was Steph Curry the best player on the 2015?
Curry's the other one. That's
all right. So the reason why I pointed out Steph, Thomas, and buddy, it was great to officially meet you this last week. Hopefully we get to see you guys out. We'll be back out on the road tomorrow ahead of game 5 as well. But the reason why Steph, it's not that I don't think Steph would win a title wherever he played in this era, because he was so dominant of a shooter. And I think that opened up everything else that happened to them, right? But you couldn't script it more perfectly, the kind of roll up that he had around him. Right, if you've got a undersized combo guard that's your point guard, and you can get a low usage 2 guard that is 6'7", whose length and defensive ability and shooting ability protects that undersized combo guard point guard defensively. And oh, by the way, again, because he is a combo guard, maybe not a true point guard, you can run the offense through like a small 5. Or you know, whatever you want to call Draymond, who's also elite defensively. Oh, and their 4th best player was either Iguodala or Harrison Barnes, who could shoot the 3 and play elite defense. And oh, at the beginning of that, they had Andrew Bogut, who was setting hard screens and doing all kinds of little stuff to get Steph extra shots. Like, that's how you do it. And with Donovan here, and you can say some of this in Utah as well, Donovan had some of that in Utah, but he didn't have a true, like, elite player to protect him on offense or on defense. Mm-hmm. And here, like, Darius isn't protecting him. If anything, they're repelling each other because of their similarities. And this is where it is on JB. JB's never gotten through to both guys how they can empower each other. So, and that's before we get to Evan's not yet a shooter. That's before we get to Jarrett is vastly improved, but still not a great shooting big. Like, oh, and you don't have a wing. Like, I think a year ago, you saw what this team was in the playoffs. A year ago, you should have been shopping Darius, or if you want to say Evan, or if you want to say Jarrett, one of those three guys, if you really wanted to keep Donovan Mitchell, you should have found a better complementary piece, especially on the wing, to help protect him. Because you didn't do that, now you're in a scenario where you might have to trade him for the pieces to build around Darius and Evan going forward. Because that's probably safer than doing than saying, you know what, Donovan, we love you so much, we'll give you the LeBron treatment. Nah, I think that moment is past for Donovan here. And I don't even know he'd take it at this point. Like, dude didn't like losing in Utah. I don't know he's going to love losing to the same degree here. So my greater point is, I disagree you can't win with Donovan, but I don't think the Cavs have tried to. Cavs have tried to make Donovan the reason that they're winning, and that's like, no, the roster does matter, your coach does matter, and you punted on it, and now everybody's like, oh gosh, this thing doesn't really work.
Like, don't you feel, Nick, that we just thought that because we had four good players that we would be able to compete and just kind of run away with this series?
I think that that's what happened last year. And I think the hope was maybe JB is a different guy in the playoffs. This year, I think they knew exactly what they had. This year, I think they knew from top to bottom who Donovan is, who Darius is, who Evan is right now in his career, who Jared is. And they, instead of making a move that would have been more of a risk last offseason, they chose the better path to keeping their jobs. And that sucks. Because, if you lose in this series to Orlando, a team who absolutely under no uncertain terms should beat you, if you lose, you will have wasted 2 years. Now, selfishly, I got to watch Donovan for 2 years. That's cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Guy's an awesome player.
But you're not trading Donovan for a different version of Donovan. No. You're trading Donovan for what you gave up for Donovan, which is three or four first rounders and a bunch of young guys who might be good around and who also might not be. You're hoping that somebody overpays for Donovan because they're desperate, like you were 2 years ago. And I guess my frustration is it didn't have to come to this. All of this is avoidable.
Yep.
And you sat on, again, Kobe, I think, is a bit of a careerist, and he should be. Because we know the reputation of Dan from days past. I think JB has said every single damn thing that I've heard him say for 2 years. He's never changed as a coach. He's never adapted. All of this was avoidable. And if you lose this series, it'll be one of the most disastrous things. Not because the future will be forever changed for the negative, but because you'll be restarting your clock and retooling this roster. And you'll be losing your best player in the process. The developmental class that the Cleveland Browns have added six picks. They made all the six picks. No trade downs. It's a Andrew Berry draft miracle. We'll get to those in just a moment. But Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about the connection between Friday night's draft picks and break down the draft in the new episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solutions. Subscribe now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, 923thefan.com. Have I mentioned Apple? Also follow along with the show on the 923 The Fan YouTube channel. You just got to hit the subscribe button there. It's always game day in Cleveland. You happy with the draft that you saw from the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, sure. Yeah, I think they did a nice job. I don't know about the later round picks. I mean, I like the first couple of picks, but you know, that you basically got two picks you expect a lot out of.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're at least this year we're going to kind of, because you don't have a first round pick, we're going to put a lot of weight on Mike Hall Jr. and you're going to put a lot of weight on Zach Zinter. I would be surprised if we didn't have to wait and see on Zinter cuz you don't have an opening at guard. And I'll be honest with you, getting that kid under the tutelage of Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller, I think, is awesome. The guy that I got most excited about was Mike Hall Jr. It's not because he's from Streetsboro, although what up Portage County
and a Buckeye,
and it's not just because he's a Buckeye. It's because I think the Browns have finally cracked the code on the defensive line. They've spent the last four drafts drafting predominantly bigger defensive linemen, right? Siaki Ika, Tommy Togiai, like even Jordan Elliott was seen as more of like a guy who could get to the quarterback, but like he was still like a 325-pound player. And if you look at it right now, the guys that are getting the best pressure are guys that are built like Mike Hall, who might be an inch or two shorter than you want him to be and who might be 10 pounds lighter, but who have just that quick first step. And from the scheme, the reason why I love it is not just because I think undersized defensive linemen are the way to go right now, because obviously like a guy like Chris Jones is 6'6", 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's not undersized. He does well for himself. But my point is, it's the system. I think Mike Hall Jr. in a lot of systems might get lost. I think in the wide nine, it's the perfect system. Because the wide nine is simply about, can you get off quicker than anybody else? And he has a quicker first step than almost any defensive lineman in the draft. And certainly, he's right up there. I mean, Johnny Newton's another guy with that quick first step. You can make the argument Mike Hall is one half second quicker than even in Johnny. So I love that fit. Like that's like I would be surprised if by the end of the year he hasn't turned into more than just like a
not a rotational guy. You think like more of a an every down kind of guy?
I think the fit is so much that by the end of it we might be talking ourselves into Mike Hall being the starter in 2025 next to Dallas.
I mean, listen, he's a second round pick. I certainly hope that he can be a starter here.
Yeah.
Maybe not this year, but maybe next year.
But not like Jordan Elliott was the starter. I mean, like he'll actually – Jordan caught another stray there. Well, he's a fine football player. He's just not going to be good here. But I think the Browns have a really good interior pass rusher to go with Dalvin, who I think really can eat up some space and take some – and by the way, more importantly, I think Mike can be a starter for the next five to seven years next to Miles. And we just haven't had a lot of guys that we can point to and go, yeah, oh, those two guys. You've always been filling three spots in the O-line at the same time. I think between Mike Hall and Dalvin, I think you have some stability that I think becomes really intriguing with how you maybe use that first rounder next year. Depending on where you pick, maybe all of a sudden you start to take that first edge rusher that you haven't really been able to take because you haven't had a first rounder. I love it, man. I love the way that second day of the draft went. I thought was perfect.
How great was it to see? Well, it was a little miserable, but also great to see that the draft capital for the Watson trade's done now.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot out of it.
They did, but I mean, we kind of always knew that. We'll get into the Watson part of this in a while, but like.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's another part that just made me go, oh, okay. I don't have to, because every year it's been a checklist, right? It's been, oh, well, this is what the Texans did with the Browns draft picks. And the first year it didn't sting too much. The second year they used that 13th pick to trade up to 3 to get Will Anderson. I don't know that that still technically counts because it was a part of what got you to 3.
I mean, they'll count it.
But like now you're like, you like look at it and you're like, okay, that's good. Like, that's a good haul, but nothing that makes me feel like the Browns can't come back and quote-unquote win the trade. And I think the Zinter stuff, by the way, the guard out of Michigan, I think he's really interesting because a year from now we should expect him, if he doesn't get reps because of injuries this year, I think the expectation is he'll take over for one of your guards, and I think it becomes an interesting conversation of who you're more comfortable Zach Zinter replacing a year from now. Because I think a lot of people would say...
Well, I mean, we got our boy Keith who's got an opinion.
Is that your cue for I should bring in Keith on this?
Yes.
Okay. That's how you lead a show. Keith, a year from now, Zach Zinter takes over for whom?
I'd say it's a higher chance of Wyatt Teller.
Why?
Just because you're paying Wyatt Teller like a top guard in the NFL. Not that that's been a problem to this point because he's played pretty well. But he has been injury prone. He is still relatively in the prime of his career. And if you're not wanting to pay that position like they've been paying it for the last few years to avoid, you know, the money constraints of other positions, then it'd probably be easier to just either deal him a year from now or to cut bait.
So I think if it's as simple as we're planning 1 year from now to move on from one of these guys, and I feel dirty saying this, I would move on from Joel. Joel is, I think, 3 or 4 years older. Joel's injuries have started to impact him. Wyatt is still, I mean, Wyatt, despite the injuries, Wyatt is insanely athletic.
And, oh, he's a freak.
And
that trade, by the way, turned out to be fantastic.
It's
like a fourth round pick or something.
Yeah, that actually is probably the best move that Dorsey made, was getting Wyatt Teller for a fourth or fifth round pick. When he himself had already been a fifth-round pick. But here's why I would choose Wyatt. I also think Wyatt's athletic build holds up longer. Like, Joel now, Joel's a big dude. And, you know, like, you look at Wyatt, I can't tell Wyatt's like 315 or 320. I can tell that Joel is 315, 320.
Mm-hmm.
So, so Wyatt is younger. I think at this point, I think Wyatt's a better football player, although Joel will always be one of our favorite players. And, man, I think if in a year Zach Zinter takes over for Joel Bitonio, even if Joel goes to Arizona or Green Bay or the Giants and has 3 more years, I'll make that. Because I think with Wyatt's 29. Conceivably, if he wants to, Wyatt could play another 6 years. And
he's still pretty young.
Still very young. And again, I just think I think his body is built to hold up with the way he's built. He's already the more athletic player than Joel. So he's younger, he's more athletic. I just trust his build a little bit more. I'm not saying I want them to move on, but if the Browns are thinking about this, I think if you're drafting with the mind of let's replace somebody next year, I think it's got to be Joel. Because I think the worst case scenario is you get 1 year in with Zach replacing Wyatt, and you then have to replace Joel because Joel's retired. And this could all be for naught because Joel conceivably could retire after this year.
He could.
This is, I think, his 11th or 12th
year. He's been here since 2014, I think, right?
So this...
Don't know how I remember that, by the way.
It's kind of maybe your most impressive pull today.
Thank
like you.
You
said that you knew that.
I said it with confidence.
Well, not only do you say a lot of things with confidence, but sometimes
so do you.
Your eyes betray you. that I know.
We're on radio.
Yeah, that's well, but I know. But in this case, I knew that you were right, not because I also knew it was 2014.
You'd see the confidence in my eyes.
But I, you, it was like there's no
salt
doubt.
And vinegar there.
No salt and vinegar in them eyes. But no, I'll be honest with you. If they got cheap about Wyatt in a year, I'd be pretty pissed. Like I think Wyatt is. I think Wyatt at this point is almost underrated because all anybody talks about with a guy is money. And what we've forgotten is both Wyatt and Joel have lived up to their contracts. I understand some generalities about, well, you don't want to pay guards too much money. Jason Lloyd has been talking about this for literally 3 years. Okay, it's 2 years because I've been back for 2 years. But it annoys the hell out of me. Not Jason, but the whole thing of, well, you can't pay two guards. Are they worth it? Because if they're worth it, I'll pay them whatever the hell they want. Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little salty about paying two tackles something like $30 million when one guy is consistently hurt for most of the season and the other guy can't finish a play that is longer than 2.5 seconds.
And here's the thing. What sort of team do you want to be, right? You've got – I mean, the guards have sort of been the bell cow this offense, and you basically feature Nick Chubb in this offense, right? So what do you want to do? Do you want to protect Deshaun Watson, or do you want to be able to run the football?
I think the most important thing is keeping the offensive and defensive lines upright. Mm-hmm. I think a special quarterback can make up for everything else. If you don't have a good offensive line or defensive line, you're going to put Deshaun in harm's way. And that would be the worst thing to do if he finally gets healthy this year and gives you 17 games, and then you go, let's get chintzy with the guards.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.